You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Preaching from an iPad. It's revolutionary. I got printed notes back there, so don't worry, just in case we really screw this up. Well, so now you realize we've been in this... Excuse me, let me clear my throat. We've been in this series for 3 weeks. It's just a sneak peek to Holy Week, as we next week will be Palm Sunday and we will officially kick off Holy Week. But if you've been here the last 2 weeks or you've seen any of those little short videos online, like the point is there's so much that happens during Holy Week that if we're just following the church calendar, hitting our Sundays, we tend to miss a lot of that context. We don't preach on it. There's not time to flesh it out. And there's so much good stuff. And so this week, we're actually going to look at the greatest commandment, which I think we might be one of the things we reference the most, but I don't know that we preach on it or teach on it, at least in my experience. Maybe you've done that lots in the past here, but for me, I feel like this... It's simple, and yet there's so much to it. So, be excited, though, versus my normal 10, 11, 12 pages. Today's preparation is only 8 pages. So, God be praised. Just kidding. No, it's good stuff, but hopefully in the end, you'll have a takeaway that is challenging, and that's... So, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus clearing the temple. And we also talked about him cursing the fig tree. And then last Sunday, if you were here, Chad Persons from Blue Water spoke, and he spoke a John text. John is a little bit harder to map through because even though there is a triumphal entry in the book of John, John has a lot of monologue. Jesus is like chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, where Jesus, if you have a words in red Bible, it's almost entirely Jesus talking, which is amazing. But you can kind of lose track of what day is it. So it's hard to map Holy Week in the book of John versus the other three Gospels. So, but Chad talked about washing the disciples' feet, and his little title for the sermon was, Don't Let Your Towel Stay Clean. It was an awesome message. If you haven't seen Chad's message, go back and watch that. But today we're talking about the greatest commandment. I think, like we said, we've almost all heard it, we all know it, but we may not have placed that it actually, that conversation happens during Holy Week. It happens Matthew 22, Mark 12, we'll get into this. So we're going to dive right in. Luke alludes to it, kind of, but it's not in correct order. So we're going to read through Matthew, Mark, and then we're going to pick it apart. So in Matthew chapter 22, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus had silenced the Sadducees in the verses right before this. They were trying to trap him in their questioning. The verses right before this we didn't read. They were astonished at his teaching. So what happens in verse 34? A Pharisee gets in the ring, another expert in the law, which is the greatest commandment. And so when Jesus replied, there's actually two references. The reference to the first one, which we hear it this way, it's actually out of Deuteronomy. It's a very clear quotation. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. It says in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and at your gates. That bottom half could be a whole other sermon. We're not going to dive into that, but if Jesus is just giving us like the headline, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, or strength, all the rest of that, impress them on your children, even when your children don't want to be have them impressed upon themselves. Impress them on your children. There's lots more to it. So that part seems pretty clear that Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. But what about the love your neighbor as yourself? Where does that come from? Believe it or not, it is also straight out of Scripture. There's usually a little footnote in your Matthew passage, or there will be in your Mark passage as well. The love your neighbor as yourself, the second half comes from Leviticus 19. I've added a little the preceding verses because I feel it builds it up. So when Jesus would have said, love your neighbor as yourself, it's not just those five words. There would have been a lot more in that. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. Lord, leave them for the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great. But judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. So some of you need to stop driving. I am the Lord. I'm just kidding. You're all good. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbors frankly so you will not share in their guilt. Some of you are good at that part. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. That's a lot that's packed in there, but he only gives you the five words. Love your neighbor as yourself, even in the one verse it's attached to. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. So when Jesus says that, there's so much in the context. He knew that it was more than those five words, love your neighbor as yourself. How you live out your faith does not only affect you. Could be done right there. Should we be done? Just kidding. Your life, my life, is to be lived as a witness of love, which is of God. So there's so much there, and we'll unpack it further as we close. We still have to check Mark's gospel. So Mark does it almost the same, but not the same. So we got to read Mark. Mark 12, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Direct quote, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Not far from the kingdom of God, as in you're so close. Or maybe just hold on to that truth and I'll see you soon. In paradise. Mark's gospel has the same footnotes, the same two we just quoted or referred to, Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19. It's really interesting, though, in this, the questioning of both. They ask for a single commandment, and what does Jesus give them? And it's really interesting that he yokes them together. He didn't give them the answer they wanted, which is pretty common if you've read the Bible or at least the Gospels. He doesn't give them what they want, but he gives them the truth. I wonder why. And if I'm honest, if I'm being honest, I believe that it's because Jesus knows that our mission and our purpose in this life is outside of ourselves. God first. Yes, sure, that part seems a little obvious, even if we still struggle with that part. That seems obvious. But why mention the second commandment? Because there is a risk of us believing that our faith, our mission, our purpose can be just between God and us. I'm going to argue that our very purpose, our relationship with God, is not to be lived out merely for ourselves. I'm still understating this. We have another story in the book of Luke that sounds nearly identical to these two gospel accounts, except only one major issue. Luke puts his version in chapter 10, way before the triumphal entry in Luke. So it seems out of order, but it seems like the same story. We're going to take a good, hard look at it, and we'll close with this parable. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" The guy answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Story should have stopped there. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, said, 'Look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." It's kind of interesting that the man didn't even want to say the word Samaritan. The one who had mercy on him. "Go and do likewise." This was Jesus' long and indirect answer to the man's question, "Who is my neighbor?" The man was probably hoping that Jesus would limit it to the house to the north and the house to the south of you. Like, that'd be nice. Then you only have to worry about 2 people. But now we need to come up for breath before we do a deep dive into the hard-to-hear, honest truth about our lives. For framework's sake, the greatest commandment is found within Holy Week, like we said. So Jesus' time, his time left before he was going to be crucified, was short. Not much time remaining. Days away. And it's not to minimize the things he said before this, but I feel like if we know our time is limited, we'd take care of the most important things. So I feel like that's kind of a stretch, but I think it's, I feel safe saying that Jesus was saying critical things. Not that they're not critical before that, but he's honing in on something. Everything he said and did was critical during this week. And now plus you add a layer of language used. Jesus is asked point blank. He's not asked for advice. Jesus, what's a good movie you've seen lately? He's not asked for whatever. He's asked, what is the greatest commandment? Yes, they were trying to trick him and corner him, but his answers that he gave back in his own words, he is confirming out of Jesus' mouth the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, and the law and the prophets. And then in Mark, the most important one, Jesus is using that language. So we can't say that they're just trying to trap him, because Jesus makes a declarative statement that this is it. This is the most important one. So Jesus uses those words, and he finishes off the Mark passage. There is no greater commandment, or there's no commandment greater than these. So as followers of Jesus, sometimes we squirm in our seats. This should be at the very top for us. I know that goes without saying. You're like, yeah, I've been a Christian all my life. Okay, great. Good start. If we look at John 15 and or 14 and 15, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And John 15, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, or my joy may be in you, and that it may your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So for us to love Christ is to keep his commands. It turns out his greatest commandment is to love. In order for us to love, we keep the command, and his command is to love. And on it goes, and on it goes, and on it goes. Here's what I think, where I think it becomes difficult for some of us. Just like the man who's asking the justifying question in Luke 10, and who is my neighbor? We want to dismiss or offload this command to love people that we don't even like. We might not know them. We can find 100 reasons why I don't think I need to love that person. I'll just ignore them, because if I don't interact with them, then I certainly don't have to love them. But that was the whole point. That was Jesus' whole point in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The two spiritual characters, the good guys, the priest and the Levite, pass by. And who does Jesus use as the hero? The one who does the right thing. The good neighbor is the Samaritan, who were well known as the bad guy. So Jesus flips the whole thing on its head, saying, you may not be comfortable with what love looks like. Should we slow that down and say that again? I'll speak for myself. Jesus is telling me, I may not be comfortable with what love looks like. It may require sacrifice. It may require being annoyed. It may require inefficient use of time. Oh, no. It's not always going to make sense or be within your comfort zone. Odds are it's going to be outside of your comfort zone. That might just be the degree to which you're being a good neighbor. What if, hypothetical, how good of a neighbor you are is how uncomfortable you allow yourself to be. Now, obviously, you need to have some kinds of ethical boundaries and, you know, moral. But at the same time, what if we always stop short of our comfort zone? Is that even love? Not true love. Jesus lost his life for us. Love your neighbor, as yourself. Some of us have no problem loving everyone. Doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter how much money they have, who they vote for, what stance they have on any issue, no problem. You can love the mean kids and the loners without a struggle. But you might be sitting here dwelling on the very last part of the commandment, as yourself. As yourself. What on earth does it mean to love yourself? Do you love yourself? Do you look after yourself? Do you check in with yourself? How do you love yourself? I honestly think a lot of Christians struggle with this. I don't think Jesus is promoting some sense of vanity or narcissism or like over-the-top self-focus. I don't think he's saying love yourself in a, you know, sinfully self-centered way. I think he just means to take care of yourself. How you would take care of yourself is how you should take care of others. Here's how I want to close today. I want to offer a single word, literally one word, that could possibly change your entire view of this greatest commandment. Because sometimes the word love is too vague, or we mistreat it, misunderstand it, we manipulate it for our own gains or to avoid certain things. We do things to the word love. No, I'm not trying to, I don't want to overwrite Jesus, the greatest commandment. He nailed it. He's 100% on. But I think there's still a gap. We're still falling short to do this. Something's getting lost in translation. So here's my suggestion. Are you ready? What if we replace, just for an exercise over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month, let's replace the word love with the word prioritize. Prioritize the Lord your God. And prioritize your neighbor as you prioritize yourself. That doesn't sound Hollywood, emotional, romantic. It doesn't sound like what we've done to love. But we can all understand what it looks like to prioritize ourselves. I do. And I can't be alone in that. My time is precious to me. Okay. Is someone else's time precious to you? Let me clarify, I'm not trying to rewrite scripture. I'm not a heretic, not completely. Jesus is spot on, but I think we struggle to understand how to live that out. This is just maybe a helpful concept. What does it look like to prioritize God? Some of us are doing fine on that one because it's like, yeah, me and you, God. But do we just kind of put blinders on? But prioritizing our neighbor, that sounds like a lot of work. Prioritize the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Prioritize your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, what we love, we prioritize. Plain and simple. Read into that forwards or backwards. If you're spending gobs of your life chasing after some endeavor, you must love it. And if you clearly don't love it, then you got to figure that out. If you prioritize your family, it's because you love them. If you prioritize binging a certain guilty pleasure TV show on the couch, it's because you love it. That's not a statement of judgment. That's just an incredibly easy way to define love. I prioritize things. Let's flip it around. What would our community look like if even for a year we prioritized our neighbors, we prioritized ourselves? What would our homes look like if we prioritized the other people in our house? I feel guilty. You get to the end of the day, it's really nice to just like, shh, everybody, shh. But what if I prioritize them? What would our homes look like? What would our schools look like? What would your jobs look like if you prioritized the value of life standing or sitting next to you? If we flip it around, God is love. Does he prioritize us? Yes, he does. He absolutely does, to the point of his son's death on a cross. We'll get to that in the next couple weeks. Did Jesus prioritize time away with the Father? Yes, because he loved him. That's it. Jesus takes some of his last days alive on earth to prioritize the commandment of prioritizing God above all else and prioritizing others as we have been prioritizing ourselves. I know I've said it too many times now, but you get it. It's so simple, but we make it so, we're just like the guy asking, who's my neighbor? Our faith in God is not to be lived out only between God and ourselves. Jesus commands us to keep a perspective that is beyond ourselves, to prioritize the right things, God and people. That is the greatest commandment. I invite you to pray with me. Invite the worship team to come on up. God in heaven, this commandment is not just about loving you and loving others. It's about self-reflection. It's about introspection. Looking inside. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to look inside of our own hearts and help us to prioritize the people around us. Help us to love them like you do. Help us to see them how you do, so that we could be on track when it comes to your greatest commandment. We pray these things in your son's perfect name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.